Hour 2 of the Blitz starting right now here in the Fan Run Studios. We're also live in your Fan Run Radio app, free wherever you get your apps. You can take us with you on the go, wherever you may be going. And you want to get that, you want to get that downloaded before football season. You don't want to find yourself, you know, in Athens Friday before the game and you want to tune into Fan Run Radio and then you got to go download the app. You got to remember what the app was. Just go ahead and throw it on the phone now. Fan Run Radio app. It's free. $3.99. Also live on, if you want to see our smiling faces on both Twitter and Facebook. But let's go ahead and start. Let's start hour two with a little bit of an opening drive. Sam, hit the music. So you gotta wait for the drop.
Yep. Couple seconds.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go. First down. Mentioned it just towards the end of the hour, really, but we got some LSU quarterback news as that competition looks to be coming to an end. LSU quarterback Miles Brennan, he walked away from football. Fifth year, he was informed that he was not going to be the starting quarterback, and that was that for him. He decided to just walk away. Brian Kelly, you know, did comment on it, didn't really say a whole lot, but Miles Brennan out at LSU, which presumably means that it'll be Jaden McDaniels taking over for LSU, as it's now, you know, just him and redshirt freshman Nussmeier there on that roster. So Jaden Daniels probably, presumably LSU starting quarterback week one, which just to me further cements that LSU is not going to be a good team this year. You know, I get that they probably will be. They probably will be with Brian Kelly. Like, that's just his track record. He's been successful. He probably will continue to be successful. But you're going to bring a guy that threw 10 interceptions and 10 touchdowns in the Pac-12. Less than, you know, 2,400 yards in the Pac-12. A QBR under 70 in the Pac-12. And you're going to make him play SEC defenses now? I mean, you look at any of the tougher games that he played in, you know, a year ago. Just not a great quarterback. Like, threw two picks, no touchdowns against USC. You know, he threw two picks, no touchdowns against BYU. I mean, even in a game against Southern Utah University, no touchdowns. I think he's kind of turnover prone. I don't really think he's all that accurate. I mean, you look at Oregon State, 166 yards, no touchdowns, zero, like one pick. Like, again, Jaden Daniels to me, not a good quarterback. So if that's your guy, then I reckon you probably don't have that good of a team, especially when the roster around him is Ojulari, Gay, and Keyshawn Boutte, and that's really it. So LSU to me, not going to be a good team this year, but Miles Brennan.
Man, you got to feel for him, man. I feel for him so hard. I mean, being behind Joe Burrow and then having to follow up that year is extremely difficult. And then just all the injuries that came after. He only played three games from 2020 on. And what, he had that off-the-field injury last year with fishing. He broke his arm fishing. So it's just like dealing with all those injuries and then, you know, stepping away from the portal when your coach is fired. And then Brian Kelly convincing you to come back and then losing your spot. To a guy who Kelly went and got 2 months after he got Miles Brennan to come back. That's just, you feel for him because it's just been such an up and down year, and he looked so good in 2020, did he not? He had, what, three 300-yard passing games? So certainly feel for him there. He had a lot of NIL deals that he made last year that will never.
I really thought he would win that job. I really did. I was pretty shocked yesterday when he didn't.
Yeah, that's surprising news. I thought going into fall camp he would have been the front runner.
Andy, second down.
Second down. We'll keep it in the SEC. Lane Kiffin said in a press conference yesterday that their new punter has come straight from campus, from the frat houses. They went out, looked around campus, needed a punter, and they wound up in Fraternity Row. Kiffin said he didn't know much about him, but said he was at a keg party when they approached him. And says, hey, we still got some conditioning work to do with this guy, but somehow he had D1 experience. You never know who's lurking around campus. they needed a punter. Somehow there was a D1 punter just hanging around, just hanging at the frat house. So they got their guy, and he's going to be likely their punter in the fall. You never know.
That was always my dream. That would Jeremy Pruitt would pull up to the intramural field, and he'd be like, man, this guy, you're telling me this guy's never lost an intramural football game at quarterback?
That's what everyone thinks when you're playing those intramural games. So what if Coach Barnes walks in this right guy now pull and up. I just hit a three?
This kid would be good for my quarterback room.
Yeah. As long as they don't come to Thanksgiving football, yeah. I think they'd be pretty impressed. I hope this punter does well.
Yeah, I could see him being like the guy that gets the fiery outro to break after he makes a really good punt and is like absolutely running up and down the sideline after he pinned someone at the 330 CBS game within the five, and they're just slow-mo-ing him, just going crazy.
I can see that now.
Right, like, yeah. I think that's his destiny.
I think he's going to be like the Pat McAfee of college football.
There's so much potential.
You just cut to the crowd. Yeah, the entire frat just there going, that's going to be fun.
And I think that's big for this guy because there's a lot of NIL opportunities with this now. Like, you've already kind of got that brand built for you. So this is a game changer for this guy.
Third down, Tiger Woods. This comes from sources. Tiger Woods and a group of other players is going to meet with a group of other players at the BMW Championship to try to rally support for the PGA Tour against the LIV Golf Series. The meeting between Woods and the group, again, is going to take place in Wilmington, Delaware, where they will all be for the second round of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the second tournament in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And a player that was invited to attend the meeting told ESPN that it will include many of the top 20 players in the world, as well as a handful of other influential PGA Tour members who have yet to defect to the LIV Golf. It's going to take place shortly after the Player Advisory Council meeting at Wilmington Country Club. And really, you know, they just want to get everyone on the same page on how they continue, you know, how they can continue to make the PGA Tour the best product. Good to see that, you know, guys are maybe trying to get on the same page. You know, I think that a united front can help, as, you know, we really are seeing basically a war take place in golf. Sam, I'll defer to you real quick as our biggest golf guy. Do you have any extra thoughts on this meeting taking place?
You know, I think it's pretty significant that Tiger's coming in. They're bringing in the big dogs for this one. And, you know, I'm excited for it. I think Tiger's going to – I think he might have a little bit more of a hand in this than we may think, kind of behind the scenes. I'm sure that Monahan and him have been talking. You know, they just – Tiger has such a – he moves the needle so much in the golf world that you get him to speak on a couple of things. I think that, you know, they may turn some things around here and may find some nice alternatives and counterpunches, I might say, for the LIV Golf here. So I'm excited to see what comes out of this meeting today.
Yeah, I mean, as frustrating as it's been to see LIV and their emergence and the players that they're taking, maybe it does lead, I don't want to say this because that's like what some of the LIV guys have already been pushing, but maybe it does lead to a better version of the PGA Tour as well for whoever's left over. You know, maybe this does encourage them to give golfers more media rights and give golfers a bigger purse and maybe try to add some fun things to, you know, some fun aspects to some lower level events. Like, let's start messing around with Zurich, you know?
Yeah.
Does anyone really care about the tournament down in New Orleans? Let's start messing around with that one.
They've got intro songs for that, and nobody on the PGA Tour was complaining about that until the LIV started playing music on their driving range. So maybe we start with the Zurich, and
That's where it all starts.
Our little test one, our little test tournament.
Andy, fourth down?
Yeah, fourth down. We'll go to the NBA. Ben Simmons and the 76ers yesterday, they finally reached a settlement agreement from what has been just the longest process of you know.
Well, you got to trust the process.
Anything. Yeah, that's you do have to trust the process, and I guess they stuck to that motto because they finally figured it out. It was the grievance that was initially filed by Simmons because he wasn't getting a portion of his payroll. It was $20 million that was withheld from him basically just because he didn't play last year. His failure to play for the 76ers, it resulted in him getting traded to the Brooklyn Nets. 76ers obviously argued that Simmons breached his contract by not showing up. Ben Simmons, on the other hand, he was arguing it was a mental health reason, and that's why he was not playing with the 76ers. And I think the debate kind of came down to it. He was also dealing with a back injury, so there was that portion where the 76ers were like, okay, he had that back injury a little bit preseason last year, so we'll at least, I guess, come up with a settlement based on that portion, because there was a window that they agreed that he was out for maybe a clear reason. But it came to an agreement yesterday. The amount that Simmons got back is confidential, so no one really knows what it was settled for. But I think...
Can we do a public records request?
Yeah, we need to know. But
is that public record?
I don't know. I guess not. But I guess finally we can put the 76ers and Ben Simmons drama aside. Obviously, there'll still be drama, but
yeah,
well, you kind of can cut ties between
We can just
two.
Move forward to Ben Simmons' Nets drama when he inevitably has a sore calf or a twisted elbow or something and can't play week one. But, all right, good opening drive. But you can go ahead and cut the music. Bonus fit down. Breaking news. Uh-oh. Fit down. Yeah, yeah, you know what to do. Send it over to the breaking news desk. We don't get this off.
Haven't
normally
heard this
the
one
breaking
yet.
News, normally the breaking news doesn't come for us. But Tennessee basketball has... That's the long one. I gotta let it play a little bit longer. But Tennessee basketball has received a commitment this morning from four-star combo guard, 6'4", 185, out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Plays his high school ball at Word of God Christian Academy. Freddie DeLone is going to be a Volunteer. A guy that...
It's a big get.
I, for one, am pretty excited about. I saw, conveniently enough, last night, there were some recruiting guys that I was just tuned into that were raving about, you know, what he's shown lately, that, you know, they think that he's really turned into he's a combo guard. Well, like a combo guard, you know, that he has a lot in his bag, that he's really, really smooth with it, that he can kind of just do a little bit of everything. And, you know, he's a guy that people expect to make potentially a nice little jump to whenever the next ratings come out. You know, they think that his stock is still on the rise. Ranked 69th nationally, nice, the 15th ranked combo guard and the second ranked player in North Carolina per 247 Sports. They're just personal rankings. The composite rankings, however, have him as the 87th national player, fourth best player in state, and 16th ranked combo guard. But hey, you know, I think this is definitely a huge get for Tennessee, obviously, and Rick Barnes. I don't really care who it is at this point, you know, in terms of star ratings. I don't care if it's the number one player in the class or if it's a three-star. If Rick Barnes has found a point guard he likes, I trust that that's going to be a good point guard, a guy that you want in your program. And I think a lot of people are pretty excited about it. You know, DeLone, quote, "I trust Coach Barnes and his staff to push me to the next level to achieve my ultimate dream." Scores at three levels, and a lot of people, again, are calling him one of the most underrated prospects in all of the country.
I think he's one of the fastest rising prospects right now. We're catching him on the rise.
Seems like we have a good habit of getting in on guys as they are just starting to rise or before they see their stock rise, really, across the board, you know, in all three major sports right now. I think all three staffs have...
Yeah.
Done a really good job evaluating talent, and that's been proven. But and he's got the measurables to compete in the SEC. He's got the skill set, and man, he's dangerous with the ball in his hands. Again, he can score at all three levels. So
yeah,
now he joins Cade Phillips as the second member of that class. Cade Phillips, 4-star on the 247 composite rankings, the 6'9" power forward, kind of as a P.J. Hall-like style to his game a little bit from Clemson. So that's what your class is shaping up as. Andy, what were you going to add?
Well, I was just going to say, I know we're going to talk a lot about, I'm sure, Jordan Matthews this hour. But, I mean, both basketball and football now, two huge recruits in the last 24 hours. And I think both of them said that the coaching staff and their ability to just connect with them. They took one visit and they fell in love with the campus. And I think that's just such a big statement for the university that – You know, it's not just one sport or the other, but everyone is kind of collectively doing a really good job of showcasing our university. And I think both those coaching staffs have done a fantastic job of building these relations and sticking with it, too. So that's pretty big for both teams to get two big recruits like that in less than 24 hours.
Well, from one commitment to another, talk some football commitment news, like you said, with Jordan Matthews on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz.
So you're watching the game.
So Tennessee just landed what we have declared a pretty strong commitment in the basketball realm. But yesterday it was Josh Heupel and company picking up a pretty big commitment on the football side of things as 4-star cornerback, top 150 player nationally, and the 15th best corner in the country, Jordan Matthews.
It's big.
The 6'1". 184-pound corner from Baton Rouge has committed to Tennessee. A guy that we talked about yesterday, and
you were convinced it was Texas.
Everyone thought it was Texas. Did you think it was Tennessee?
No, I mean I hadn't done as much, I feel like, digging as you did, so I was just kind of going off.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the crystal balls, they were all Texas, and some pretty strong ones were cast for Texas too. Including, you know, a high confidence crystal ball casted by a Texas insider from Horns 247.
Mm.
So I think really the assumption all around was that, you know, Jordan Matthews was going to end up as a Longhorn. And you know, yesterday I'll be frank, I didn't even turn on the commitment. I didn't even watch it. I just assumed that I was going to get a little notification. Jordan Matthews commits to Texas, and then I'd be like, fake UT, whatever. We'll beat him in a couple years when they're in the SEC, and I wouldn't really ever think about it again. But put on that Tennessee hat. Had some pretty nice things to say about Tennessee, too. And
yeah,
it's going to be a Vol. So now back-to-back days, you add, I think, guys that maybe the most, you know, one of the three most important positions that you're currently recruiting. I would say offensive line, defensive line, and cornerback right now are your three most important positions to get in this class. Well, in back-to-back days,
yeah,
you've added two really strong, solid corners, like some guys that can probably contribute earlier rather than later for this team. The other thing that I thought was kind of funny when he did commit, his dad played at LSU. He mentioned, man, I know that, you know, Death Valley is, you know, paraphrasing here, but it is loud, but it's Rocky Top that really stood out to me, which is, you know, I think that's pretty important too, just getting a guy from Baton Rouge to just flat out say, like, hey, I this is a better place than LSU. For Tennessee to go into Louisiana and get a guy like that, I mean, you know, the communication, the relationships that he now has with other guys in Louisiana, for him to put Tennessee above LSU like that publicly, I mean, that kind of influence could potentially work out well for Tennessee as well. But when you look at what you're getting with Jordan Matthews, it's a guy that, again, has the length, has the athleticism. When you look at his scouting report from 247, looks the part of a power five corner from the naked eye, plays long with wiry strength, has the physical tools and the functional athleticism to provide for versatility, excellent multi-sport athlete as well, strong track data, top five finisher in the 100 and 200 meters, really good at shrinking the window and pestering at the catch point, great recovery speed in the intermediate to deep passing game. I mean, really just one of those guys that you can put, to me, I think, that you can put on an island, that you can put in man coverage, and you can feel pretty comfortable with. Andy, what do you think that Tennessee is getting in this commitment? What was your reaction to a surprise commitment from Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it yesterday, how, you know, we're kind of excited to see how the corner position progresses this year, and then it's such an important position, and now you go out and get two really good cornerback guys in the last 24 hours. That obviously that shows that the Tennessee coaching staff is really focused on upgrading that position and having a lot of depth and a lot of really good talent there for years to come. And I think this guy, I watched his tape this morning. He was just really, I think, sturdy. Like he wasn't doing too much, and he was really good at just keeping his guy on him. He was kind of a ball hawk. It's not like he was making a lot of interceptions and then running after the catch. He was just like really good at locking down his guy. He was also really good on field goal block as well. He was coming off the edge with a lot of speed, so that was kind of cool. I don't know if he'll be used there, but I really like. He does look the part. Like he definitely has that look of an SEC caliber guy. I think it's cool to, you know, in the last, you know, few days we're going out there and taking guys away from, you know, teams that we could play in the next 3 to 4 years, and Texas is going to be making that move to the SEC, so they've got this, and then a welcome to the SEC against Bama on September 10th. So it goes to show we can be competitive in any state as well. You get a cornerback from Kentucky earlier, you go into Louisiana, Baton Rouge, get this guy.
Win in Alabama as well.
Yeah, exactly. You're not afraid to go to any different states. It also shows, you know, how good of a position coach Willie Martinez is with these DBs. I think a big appeal was that, you know, Alante Taylor was a second rounder last year. You know, the staff can get guys to the next level. Another pitch is that, hey, we need you to be the next Alante Taylor. We've got a lot of, you know, availability at this position. Warren Burrell is going to be gone after this year. Like, we need you to be our next guy. And I think that's just such a great pitch that, hey, we've gotten guys to the NFL. We've got spots that need to be filled. Come play for an SEC school, one of the best stadiums in the country, and be that guy. And I think Willie Martinez was texting him every day is what he said. Coach Heupel was texting him every other day. I think Tim Banks was heavily involved in this recruiting process as well. So it just shows kind of that this coaching staff, they're really pitching this position hard and well, and they've got results to back it as well.
Yeah, I think it's big that we're going in there and we're getting guys that are obviously of need. We're trying to bolster that secondary, and we're going into different states and doing it. We've got Christian Conyer coming from Kentucky. We've got Ricky Gibson from Alabama, and now we go in and get Jordan Matthews from Louisiana. That's got to make you feel good knowing that your staff is, you know, going into these other states that are pipelines for some other big schools and big rivals of yours, and you're going in there and plucking the top talent out of there. So I think that's just a great sign in terms of the direction that this staff is taking the program and how we can really go anywhere across the country and recruit kids and sell them on Tennessee. And, you know, you can see that Jordan Matthews is real high on the environment that we have building at Tennessee. And, you know, it's only going to get better as this team improves. So it's just a really nice sign that this staff is really getting it together, recruiting in all different areas and bringing in the top talent around all the country into Knoxville.
Yeah. I will say real quick that I really liked his comments after he made that commitment, and I think he's really going to be one of those guys that takes the process pretty seriously. I think he's going to be an early enrollee in January as well, so I think that's going to be really helpful for him to get involved a lot quicker than normal.
The staff, man, they're just doing a great job building relationships both, you know, within your state and regionally. Pretty pumped about, you know, what they're doing. Former LSU quarterback Marcus Randall, he is Jordan Matthews' coach right now at Woodlawn High School. He had some pretty nice things to say. He mentioned that, you know, he's very detail-oriented, very disciplined, you know, has a lot of room to grow still, but he understands coverage as well, not just man-to-man, but he sees things and does just a lot of those little things right. You know, has the physicality and speed to be versatile in a lot of different matchups, I think. You know, he's fast enough that you can put him on a smaller, quicker receiver, but I think he's also, you know, has a frame to reach a level of physicality that he can get up there and play with some of those bigger guys as well. You know, that was coming from me, not from Coach Randall. But Coach Randall, I mean, also did mention that a 5-star LSU commitment, Shelton Sampson, when they played against him last year. He put Matthews on him for really the entirety of the game, and he held him to one catch the entire day. So that's the kind of guy you're getting. I mean, he can go play a five-star receiver and hold him to one catch. That's the kind of guy you want to bring into your football program. And, you know, I guess that's even maybe an added little edge that you have on LSU. Hey, not only did we go into your state and, you know, get this guy, but he's also a guy that that locked down your best receiver commit. So I like that you have that. Moving forward, you know, I think now probably your biggest needs here in this class, to me, I still think the biggest need is offensive line. You know, I don't think you can ever have enough offensive linemen. You already got Sham Umarov. Obviously, you got Aiden Bussell in the class. But I would like to bring in two or three more pretty talented offensive linemen. I mean, you're in there still for Vyson Lang, but, like, there's not, I mean, a ton of big blue-chip offensive linemen you're still in on. Other than that, you know, I still want to see you add more against along the defensive line. You got your edge rushers. You got your Caleb Herring. You got your Shadavion Bradley. But, you know, you got three-star commits inside right now. But if you can get, like, just one of those big, like, movers of a defensive lineman. Like, one of those guys that you can just put – it looks not like Jordan Davis. That's not like a carbon copy of Jordan Davis or anything, because like you can't find those. No. But if you can get guys like of similar size and stature, just, you know, guys that you can throw in the middle that can not just eat double teams but take on double teams and open it up for those edge rushers, for your Herrings and for your Bradleys to, you know, be able to stunt inside and be able to have more room to operate, like that would be huge. So I think that for me, along the line and maybe, you know, one more corner, like those are my biggest remaining needs for this 2023 class. Would you agree, disagree there? Is there any, you know, any glaring need, you know, left in this class that you think Tennessee needs to address?
No, I think you hit the hammer on the nail there. And now you got three big DBs. Yeah, you can focus on that aspect. And then, I just don't think there's really, you can take as much as you get. Like, you want to fill up your roster as much as possible. So, I mean, with how the staff's been doing, I trust them at this point to get what they need to get, and I think the O-line is a good place to start.
Wrapping up, just some other quick football notes here before we end this segment. Kamal Haddon and Elijah Simmons, they were back on the practice field today. However, Jimmy Callaway, Squirrel White, did not practice. Jalen Wright wasn't at full contact. Lynjay Dixon, they've been raving about his early performances, the early returns from him, but he didn't practice today with a sprained ankle. And Georgia Tech transfer Wesley Walker was not back at practice either after he also missed the scrimmage. Solon Page also still out. But, yeah, you're getting some guys back. You're getting some guys back in the fold, and I don't think anybody is, you know, seriously injured at this point, which is always good for, you know, when you don't have any major injuries across the board. So, just some injury updates there. Gonna go ahead and catch a quick break here. On the other side, we'll play a little Top 5 Tuesday. Coasting along here in hour two, so we're trying to break out some new segments for you, as you know, we bring the Blitz back, some new daily segments like yesterday, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today, you know, we're trying out some new things. Hey, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But today, we're trying out Top 5 Tuesdays, where Sam Beard will give us a topic, and we will give a top five list. So trying it out, our first ever Top 5 Tuesday, Sam.
With the first edition of Top 5 Tuesday, talk of the office this morning was the Manti Te'o documentary coming
yes,
out.
I am so excited for this. I'm like, I'm going to eat this up.
It got us excited, and it got us talking. And so what we are going to do for the first Top 5 Tuesday is our top five sports documentaries. Charlie, I'll let you go first.
Oh, you're going to let me
go first?
Wow.
All right.
I'm going to defer to Andy. I want Andy to
go first. Oh, okay. Sweet.
I don't know if that's how it works.
Oh, I didn't know you picked who went first.
Should we just flip a coin?
Spin a wheel, huh?
I've got a coin.
You got a coin?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's flip a coin. Let's get a little bit of...
Because I feel like I've got a clear number one right now.
All right.
Maybe we'll just let Andy go first.
Heads or tails, Charlie? Heads or tails?
I'll call it in the air. I'll call heads.
All right. Oh, wait. Heads?
Yeah, actually, okay, I'll call heads.
Okay. It's tails, so I guess I'll go first.
Andy with his clear 1-1. I can't wait
to hear
what this
is. Clear 1-1 is The Last Dance, Michael Jordan documentary. I mean...
Oh, you're starting at 1?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to start at 5 and like...
Oh, we're doing 5... Like, all right, forget I said. Well, but I thought it was just going to be like a fantasy draft. Like we get to pick them, and then if I pick
you don't
get to pick it. I thought that's how it was good. Like if I say one, you then can't say it.
Oh, that's actually.
So that's why I was like, it's kind of a big deal to go number one.
You know what? This is better.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like if
this
I take
is better.
It, if top I take
five,
it, you can't take it.
Top five Tuesdays have changed. Into
yeah,
a draft.
No, it's a competition.
It's
now
a draft yeah. and a competition. It's Sam will have to rank our list at
the
end.
It's a snake draft, so you get back to back.
I get back to
back. Yeah, so I'll take the clear number one.
Yeah,
like,
that's
this is the number
fine.
One.
That's a terrible
pick.
Documentary.
What?
That's a terrible documentary.
In what way?
You can't have the subject of the documentary have final cut on the documentary. At that point, it's just a movie. It's not even a documentary. Ken Burns would never. The godfather of documentaries, Ken Burns, he even said it. That documentary is a disgrace. You can't let Michael Jordan decide what's in his own documentary. Terrible documentary.
I'm not going to debate the ethics of the documentary. I just think the content is amazing.
Terrible.
Like, I love just
with my first pick, Last Chance U.
What, we're doing that?
Does that count?
We're
I feel like
Netflix series?
It's a docu-series.
Okay, well, the game's definitely changed now. I'll let you take it.
Yeah. All Last right. Chance U.
Are we doing movies too?
Does that include... No, it's
okay,
non, it has
just
to be
like,
sports nonfiction.
I think you have to choose a school on The Last Chance
U. Do I have to choose a school?
I don't know if you can...
Can I just...
necessarily take that entire series. There's like four different schools that's covered. I think you have to choose your favorite.
Can I at least just choose between like football and basketball?
I think there's a clear-cut difference between the two. So yeah, I want to hear which one you like better.
I choose Last Chance U football first because that is that's the OG, that's the original, like that is the one that got everyone fired up. It was always like do we ever have the overlap where Last Chance U and NCAA 14 came out in the same summer?
I don't know if Last Chance U is that old.
I don't think it is either. I was gonna say that could have been like peak summer, but
I think that's like
it kind of helped me replace that void though of like, hey, college football's on the horizon. You get the drop of NCAA 14. Like then it was like, oh, you get the drop of Last Chance U. So my first pick, I'm taking Last Chance U football.
Okay, what's number two? It's snake draft.
Last Chance U basketball, baby.
Oh, all right. All right. I'll just go into mine now. Since you've got the whole Last Chance U realm, I'll take the Hard Knocks realm. If I had to pick a specific season of Hard Knocks, which means you can't, I guess you can't pick it anymore. I got Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
but
you just got Hard Knocks. I'll give you Hard Knocks as
I
a
feel
whole.
Like if we're picking a season, I loved the Cleveland Browns one.
Really?
I loved that one.
You just
like
the man.
It was just like crazy. I mean, it was rookie Baker. Yeah, and like the coaching staff was crazy. Hugh Jackson was like getting in freezing cold water, episode one, just to try to like exercise last season out of his system. He didn't last too much longer after that. You had Jarvis Landry, who was, you know, going off every single episode on his team. I loved that one for whatever reason. I also loved the Rams season, just with Jared Goff and them being out in LA for the first time. I don't know. Like I like this season too, but I don't think really any one of them have stood out as much as the Browns one, like in recent history. And I know a lot of those old ones are really good, but I feel like I was kind of late to the game. In
I was
going
to say,
Knocks.
The best to me is...
I know the Texans with Bill O'Brien was pretty crazy.
The best to me was always the Chad Ochocinco ones, like the OG ones.
Yeah,
where,
I feel like those
where
are...
Carson Palmer was making fun of his center's like butt stench, and Yeah, Chad Ochocinco with the child, please. Those were always.
I 2001 like Ravens. One. Yeah, the Ravens one is classic.
The 2001 Ravens?
2001 Ravens.
Shannon Sharp.
Wait, they had Hard Knocks back then? That's how long Hard Knocks
That's
been?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I haven't watched a lot of
I need to go watch like the OG one.
Yeah. When they have the rookies come out and do their little performance, they do a. Two of the rookies did an impersonation of Shannon Sharp and Ray Lewis, I think.
Yeah, just think about how different the NFL was in 2001 than it is now. It's just like so much different, and it's just such a raw Ravens like preseason camp. I'll just take Hard Knocks at number two. If we had to be specific, I did like the Browns one. It was all right.
I thought the Browns was good. You get Baker impersonating John Dorsey, smacking his gum.
I feel like there was a lot of characters that you could really latch on. Like, remember David Kajust or whatever his name was? Like, he had a big storyline with his father, and then there was also
Corey Coleman like quitting on the Browns. I think like during that training camp.
He took reps with the second team for one day,
and he wanted to get traded immediately.
And there was that quarterback who was kind of Baker's backup, who everyone just latched onto as well. Oh, yeah. I forget his name.
He lived in a trailer in the parking lot.
They all did.
Not?
I'm pretty sure they all did. all the quarterbacks did.
Who was it? Was it Cody Kessler?
No. It might have been him. Cody Kessler. I think he was a part of it, but it was like the quarterbacks had a trailer, and like the rookies had to like make sure it had snacks in it.
I'm going to have to look this up.
Because like Baker was kind of having to get it all situated.
All right, so that's your second pick. What's your third pick?
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's a snake, right?
Yeah, it is a snake. Third pick in the draft, I'm going to go with the I'm going to start heading in the 30 for 30 realm.
Oh, that's where I'm headed too.
Yeah, I think the 30
for
30
Oh, don't take what I'm about to have.
Are you about to do the Celtics-Lakers?
We're good.
All right. I love the Celtics-Lakers. It's like the best of enemies one, and there's like three parts. And I think it's some of the best like documentation of 80s NBA basketball, just because that's really what 80s basketball was. It was so much Lakers and Celtics, and it just literally goes through most of their history and just like the rivalry between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and kind of like the emergence of Michael Jordan and the Pistons kind of later in that realm, and then you know a little bit dipping into what they did in the 2000s with Kobe and Shaq, and then their finals back in the late 2000s. So I just love Celtics and Lakers history. So I'm gonna take them at three.
All right, back to me. My third pick in the draft. It's a real sleeper. This is like this is like getting Debo in the second, or maybe even Kevin Byard in the fifth.
All right,
kind of steal, survive in advance. Mm. The Jimmy V. 30 for 30. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. One of, I think, the all-time feel-good sports documentaries. One that just make, I mean, there are a lot of good sports documentaries, but there are very few that make you feel the way that this one does at the end, where you just feel like you're ready to give it all for your hopes and dreams and passions, man. It's inspiring. Yeah. I love it. I'm a big fan of it. I'm going to follow that up. Ooh, this is where it starts to get tough.
There's a lot of good ones.
Because there's still a lot of good ones out there.
Oh, there's so many. And I'm not going to get all the good. Like, there's going to be so many.
Sam, I'll let you throw out some of your honorable mentions at the end here that we missed.
Yeah.
But I think I might go back to the 30 for 30.
Yeah, there's just so many good 30 for 30s.
I'm going to take the U. I'm going to take
that's
a U.
A great pick.
That was always, I mean, that was like, I think, one of the most iconic early 30 for 30s. Obviously, like, your first couple 30 for 30s, you had like, the one on the Wayne Gretzky trade, and you had the one on, like, the Baltimore Colts marching band. But I think the one that really started to get people hooked on 30 for 30 was when they dropped the U back in, wow, that was 2009. That feels like, that doesn't feel like it was that long ago. Wow. That is a long
2009?
Time ago. But yeah, the U, man.
I don't know. It does feel like that was a long time
the
ago.
The U was
it was,
so
it was right after like a Heisman Trophy ceremony, I remember. I think
was
Tebow
December
was in
12th.
It. Okay. Yeah. It had to have been right after the Heisman.
It was so good. Man, was I in elementary school when I watched that for the first time? That's wild. Yeah. That's weird to think about. Well, I got the U with my fourth pick.
Okay, your last pick. It's Snake.
No, I already did three and four. Now, really? You have your last two.
Okay.
And I have my last one to end
in. In no particular order, I'm going with 4 days in October, which is
that was on top of my list. That great is one of my favorite of all time.
Yeah,
you are picking a winner, by the way. We decided that when you went to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's Yankees fine. And Red Sox, the dramatic comeback down 3-0 in the ALCS, never before been done.
Unbelievable documentary.
It's just it's kind of short. It's on the shorter end, but it just it's jam packed. Everything.
My favorite scene in that one is when Poppy hits the home run to send us to the next game, and he comes back with the beatbox over his shoulder in the locker room.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
I messed up. I messed up not picking that one.
Yep.
Should have known, too. You were in Boston like a month ago. Really would have played to your strengths.
It would have played.
Yeah,
would have
played. That's such a good one. And then my last one is actually one that SEC Story did pretty recently. It's like the More Than a Voice documentary where, like, I think Kenny Chesney was – like executive producer on that, and it like kind of featured all the play-by-play guys around the SEC, and it's super cool. Like, it has John Ward featured in it. It has you know, Eli Gold of Alabama, some other guys from around.
You said it was called what?
More Than a Voice. SEC
I've
Story. Actually,
not.
It's super
ever
cool.
Seen that one.
I've never seen that.
It's
either.
Really cool.
I might be watching that today.
Yeah, you definitely should check it out. It's great. Especially for, you know, guys like us who like to be on a mic. It's inspiring to watch some legends and what they did and all that good stuff.
All right, so Andy's final team then, his results of his Tuesday draft day.
Yep.
The Last Dance, Hard Knocks, the Celtics Lakers 30 for 30, 4 days in October, and More Than a Voice.
It's a good
list. It's a
list.
Solid
I like that list.
That's a solid list right there. I have Last Chance U Football, Last Chance U Basketball, the Jimmy V, and the U. I feel like it's pretty close, in my opinion at least. I like mine better, but.
Well, of course.
I'm going to go with
A.
He's got one more.
I got the winning pick right here. My last round pick, the one that brings it home, I'm going into the untold universe of documentaries. One of the best universes of documentaries. That is what this Manti Te'o documentary, I'm pretty sure, is part of the Untold series as well. So, yeah, it's all coming full circle. My final pick is Untold, The Malice in the Palace.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, the Netflix documentary on the Malice in the Palace.
You just made this a very
never
tough decision
been,
now.
Never you know, been told before information about that. I think, to me, that is one of the most entertaining sporting events that has ever happened in the history of sports.
Maybe not to be there, but
I would have loved to be there. If you told me, that every NBA game would end like that, I would be a season ticket holder.
No, that would have been
terrifying. I would be driving to Atlanta for every home game.
That just made that decision very tough. I love Malice in the Palace.
Until you get punched by
I'm not going to hopefully be the one getting punched. Like, I just want to be right there. It's like, yeah, sure. Get him.
This is tough now. Malice in the Palace really brings up Charlie's resume there.
That is a good one. I'll give it to you.
I think I'm still going with Andy as the winner, though, simply because you took back-to-back Last Chance U picks.
Yeah.
That was the only reason.
They're so good.
They are good, but...
You missed it. The Last Chance U sucks. Last Chance U is the most overrated thing that's ever been created, in my opinion.
Some honorable mentions I had that I thought were left off.
Hit me with them.
I'm going to go real quick here. The Fab Five.
That's a good one.
These are all thought hard about, by the way. The Fab Five, Without Bias, the one about Lynn Bias.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
That one's good.
You Don't Know Bo, another great one about Bo Jackson. A lot of great stories about his early days. The Bad Boys, and I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those are some good ones.
Those are like some of your classic 30 for 30.
A lot of good picks. Yeah. I like what this just turned into.
Yeah,
I guess
this was healthy.
Tuesdays are now draft days instead of
It's draft days.
That.
Yeah,
yeah, we're not ranking anything anymore. We're drafting.
I liked how
and
that
I
worked
love
out.
Drafting. So,
me too.
Congrats on the win.
I appreciate it.
Real quick, that segment brought to you by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine, powering the Fan Run live stream. That's what they're doing. And if you're not active right now because of discomfort or pain that is limiting any of your activities, check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Located in Memphis, people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life without surgery. If you want to get back on your bike, back to the gym, or walk at the park, hey, just have a healthier lifestyle, any of that, or all of the above, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com, LENDERMON, SportsMedicine.com. Sam, send us to break, wrapping up the show with your best bet on the other side. Me and Andy both won our best bet yesterday. Sam, you were the loser, but it's time to redeem yourself.
It is.
Well,
I think you can go first.
Let's continue.
Today, I am going to go with the Phillies, -1.5 against the Reds. I don't think there's too much explanation for this one. It's the Reds. And Kyle Gibson's on the mound for the Phillies. Pretty solid pitcher for him, and the Phillies are a very hot baseball team right now. I'm going to ride the hot hand, and I'm going to fade one of the worst teams in baseball in the Cincinnati Reds. Simple as that.
It's funny because I have a completely different approach today than you. Not the same game, but I'm going to ride the very cold New York Yankees and assume that they turn it around tonight. They lost to the Rays 4-0 last night. That was their 10th loss in 12 games. They've been shut out 4 of the last 9. 8 runs combined in their last 6. They've lost 3 in a row at home, so the odds aren't really there recently, but they still have won 41 games at Yankee Stadium, and they're still 10 games in front of the division. I think they turn around tonight. I think they win.
Well, this is interesting.
Are you the opposite way of that?
I am fading you.
Wow. Okay. So one of us has the
lose. We're only going to have one more undefeated person after 2 days of this. But if you bet $100 on the Yankees every game this season before the All Star break, you would have been up $884. You would have gotten 64-28. But after, you would be down $1,176.
Wow.
Sad-looking 8-16 straight up
since
the break. Tonight, the odds are in favor of the Yankees. They, you know, if you want to hop on the Yankees, they're -170, and I get it. They're at home. They have Nestor Cortez on the mound, and, man, I love Nestor. I love me some Nestor. But at +140, I really like what the Rays have here. Jeffrey Springs is on the mound. Not enough people have paid attention to what Jeffrey Springs has done this year because he's just another, like, nameless Rays pitcher. He's 4-3, and he's had more strikeouts than innings pitched. Like, a whip is just barely over 1. The ERA is sub-3. Doesn't really allow a lot of homers. Doesn't really walk a lot of guys. I think that Jeffrey Springs is going to eat up an aggressive Yankees lineup tonight. And I like the Rays to go into Yankee Stadium and win at +140. So that's my bet of the day. Real quick, before we get out of here, also want to let you know about our friends over at Big Orange Philly. It is the Big Orange Philly's phone line, but also Big Orange Philly's will be having an event Sunday, August 21st from 1 to 3:30. Free autograph posters, food and drink specials, Princeton Fant, Jabari Davis, Latrell Bumpfis. They're all going to be there. It's going to be an absolute blast. 6625 Maynardville Pike in Knoxville, Tennessee. Man, we love our new friends over at Big Orange Phillies. Whether you want to pop in for a quick lunch break, you know, you're grabbing some burgers and beers with the friends after work, or it's a weekend night out with some pools, some darts, some karaoke. Hey, they even got some live music on the weekends. Big Orange Phillies, that's the spot. But, hey, we're over time. Thank you for listening to day two of the new Blitz. For Charlie, for Andy, for Sam, y'all have a wonderful day. Talk Sports up next here on Fan Run Radio.